you will also give us whatever is good for us. Thank you that through the Lord Jesus Christ and in Him, we can experience not only forgiveness of sins, but in Him we will be made complete. And in Him we can grow unto the fullness of the stature of the Son of God Himself. For Christ in us is the hope of glory. Father, we ask that you will continue to help us to gain insight into what you've revealed in the scriptures, that we will not continue nor remain in spiritual poverty, but that we may grow and manifest your glory, that we may indeed be good ambassadors for Christ. We commit this time to your loving hands, and we pray that the Spirit of God may be pleased to be in our midst, to speak to us and to show us the way to rise up to your high calling. For we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject of the fulfillment of God's purposes, the 47th message. We are considering moral, spiritual beauty and stature of men, the 16th message. How to make good progress in moral, spiritual beauty and stature, the 13th message. And the subtopic for today, how do we live by the principle of faith in the truth, in the light of God's provision of the Lord Jesus Christ? How do we live by the principle of faith in the truth, in the light of God's provision of the Lord Jesus Christ? We have seen it is God's will for His children to grow in moral, spiritual beauty and stature. In fact, this is a primary intention of God for men, that we may become conformed to the image of Christ. And that God does not leave us alone to work it out on our own. Not only has He made provisions for us, He has also shown us the way and is also at work in our lives to bring it about. We have been considering God's major provisions for us. In the last message, I considered with you God's most important provision for us, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's important that we look to the Lord to help us to truly appreciate increasingly and benefit more fully from His indescribable gift of His only begotten Son to all His children. Today I want to go on to consider with you, how do we live by the principle of faith in the truth, in the light of God's wonderful provision of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the verses we have turned to in our consideration of growth in moral, spiritual beauty and stature is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 13, that God has chosen us for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. This is God's intention for us, not only that we may be converted, but for full salvation through the process of sanctification. And sanctification is by the Spirit and faith in the truth. But we may ask, how does this work out in practical daily living? In the light of our knowledge that God has given us His Son, it is a major provision of the Lord. The truth pertaining to God's provision of His Son. How do we respond to God according to this principle of faith in the truth, in a manner that can help us grow in moral, spiritual beauty and stature? This is a very vital area of truth that we need to appreciate, not only with our hearts, but also to respond and work it out in our lives, as this will then help us to grow well and live a life of fruitfulness. There are many different ways of approaching this subject. I will try some ways of communicating this important, complex, and vast subject. To live by the principle of faith in the truth, you can see that there are two parts. First, there's a need for us to know the truth, and then the appropriate response to the truth in order to benefit from the truth. So we first need to know the truth, to understand the truth, and to gain spiritual insight into the truth. For the truth to help us, we must recognize there's a spiritual dimension to it. Not the fleshly understanding, but spiritual insight that comes from the Lord. But we cannot stop at that. There must then be the appropriate response to the truth that we've come to appreciate. It is only then that we can benefit from the truth. God may have given us His Son, and together with that, God intends much for us. But unless we know the truth and respond appropriately, we will not benefit from it. So the first part is insight into the truth, and that is the emphasis of the last message. This is important, very important. There must be this earnest desire in our heart. If we want to grow well, we must then have this earnest desire to grow in our understanding and appreciation of the meaning of God giving us His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean? What does it mean that together with Him, God has given us not only eternal life, but He has also blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ? That all we need for growth, all we need for our well-being, for an overcoming life, they can all be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Him, we are not lacking in anything. Do we appreciate what this means? Is there spiritual insight? Or are these just words to us? We need to appreciate all that God has done and provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, especially what has been accomplished at the cross and the vast implications for us. Reconciliation, forgiveness of sins, all that God has provided, intended, and intend for us in the new covenant, and also in Christ, we can overcome the evil one, the world, the weakness of the flesh. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we can overcome sin. All this has been covered in the earlier series of messages, Appearance and Reality, under the major section, Reflections on the Death of Christ. I will not elaborate here. You can refer to those messages in your own time. The Lord Jesus Himself tells us, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. John chapter 8, verse 36. That it is feasible in the Lord Jesus and through Him to attain to a deep sense of freedom and richness of life. Yes, there are many difficulties in the path of true discipleship. But if we really learn how to walk with the Lord and to walk in Him, then though difficult, it is not a miserable life, but a life of abundance, richness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, and a life of continuing growth in the direction of moral, spiritual beauty and stature. We need to be deeply impressed with the importance of this area of truth and to continually seek to understand, appreciate more of what God has done and provided for us in His Son, and also be deeply impressed of the need to respond deeply and earnestly. And this brings me to the second part, the appropriate response to the truth, to benefit from the truth. And that is the emphasis of today's message. How can we grow well and experience more and more of what God has provided for us and intend for us in Christ? We've seen in the preceding message, what God has done and provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, He has already accomplished it and given it to us. And this is for all of God's children, not just for those who are very spiritual or those who are special, with special calling. It's meant for all of God's children. But many of God's children continue to live in ignorance and spiritual poverty. So we must understand that it is not automatic. We must look to the Lord to help us to understand and then actually move in a direction where we will experience more and more of what God intends for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. One way of approaching and answering this question of how is to move in a direction of increasingly deeper personal knowledge of Christ and depth of relationship with Him, that this will have a direct bearing on in helping us move in that direction. Why? Because all that God intends for us are found in the Lord Jesus. So as we deepen in our personal knowledge of Christ and depth of relationship with Him, we will find what God intends for us in Him. How does this come about practically? We must earnestly seek to know Him and to be identified with Him. Spiritual insight as well as experiential reality. We must seek to understand what is important to the Lord. What is it that He is concentrating upon? What is it that He is concerned about? What is it that consumes His life? As the Apostle John tells us, zeal for thy house has consumed me, as a reflection of what is in the heart of the Lord Jesus. Do we understand what is it that God, the Lord Jesus, is deeply concerned about? His spirit, His attitude, His character, His motivation in life, what He's committed to. And then, at the same time, as we understand, we align our heart and spirit with His. As we read the scriptures, do we seek to understand His spirit, His character, the whole way He approached life, and as we understand, to align our heart and spirit with His. One important area of truth we have seen is that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We may ask, how can we experience and enter more and more into these blessings? Yes, God has already blessed us with all these blessings in Christ. We do not have to plead with God to give it to us. He has already blessed us with these blessings in Christ. They are to be found in Christ. It's already meant for all of God's children. But the question is, how can we experience, how can we enter more and more into these blessings which are intended for us? In an important passage on being blessed, the Lord Jesus shows us the way. This is a very well-known passage, the Beatitudes. And this important passage on being blessed bears a relationship with Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, which tells us how God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. In times past, I have preached on the Beatitudes in detail in a number of messages. I will just go through quickly the relationship between the Beatitudes and Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12, we see the Lord Jesus addressing His disciples. Although He saw the crowds, His disciples came to Him. He opened His mouth and began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." It's primarily directed at the disciples, but of course, in reality, God wants everyone to understand these teachings and move in the direction of what God desires for us, as indicated in these Beatitudes. Now, primarily, they're addressed to the disciples. Who are those who are blessed? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle or the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So the Lord Jesus tells us that we are blessed if we are poor in spirit, we learn how to mourn in the right way, we learn to be gentle or meek, we learn how to hunger and thirst after righteousness, we are merciful, we are pure in heart, we are true peacemakers, we are prepared to be persecuted for the sake of righteousness and for the sake of the Lord, we can rejoice and be glad. Here in these Beatitudes, the Lord Jesus is describing a kind of spirit, attitude, and approach to life, and the kind of qualities we should seek to nurture within us, and that these are closely associated with a life of blessedness. It also includes the right perspective. Because the Lord Jesus says, even if you are persecuted, people insult you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you, he says we can still rejoice and be glad. Men generally will try to avoid being persecuted, insulted. And when people slander them, they can feel very disturbed. But the Lord Jesus says, not only we need to be prepared in the path of faithfulness to him to undergo difficulties like these, he says we should rejoice and be glad in our hearts. Not that we are rejoicing and we are glad because we are suffering, but he says, rejoice and be glad is in the context of faithfulness to the Lord. For the sake of righteousness, for the sake of the Lord, if we are prepared to go through all these kinds of difficulties, we can rejoice and be glad. This is the right perspective. The Lord Jesus says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. The sufferings, the pain we go through will not be detrimental to our lives if we go through it in the right spirit, in faithfulness to the Lord. And one very major outcome of such a life, and not just the final outcome, but the whole process, is the development of the inner man, growth in moral, spiritual beauty and stature. And the verses that follow, the Lord Jesus tells us, as we move in this direction, we'll learn, we'll grow, and then we'll be able to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. The true witness will then be able to flow forth from our lives. So if you have this kind of spirit, attitude and approach to life, if this is what we are committed to, we will be blessed. And the higher the quality, of this kind of spirit and attitude, the more the blessed state will be in. It's not just whether you're blessed or not, but the degree of it. Likewise, if we have this kind of spirit, attitude and approach to life, we will be in a position to experience in increasing measure God's blessings for us in Christ. Why is this so? This is so because this kind of spirit, attitude and approach to life enables us to be more and more identified with the Lord Jesus and to enter into deeper fellowship with Him. Because the attitude and the spirit of the Lord Jesus is like that. And if we want to enter into deep fellowship with Him, we must be like Him, conformed to the image of Christ, His character, His spirit. And when we are conformed to His spirit and attitude and perspective and values, as we enter into deeper fellowship with Him, this will then open up to us and enable us to experience more and more of all that God intends for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have seen in the last message, at the heart of God's provision for us of the Lord Jesus Christ is Christ in us and we in Him. One way of appreciating how we ought to live by the principle of faith in the truth, in the light of God's provision of the Lord Jesus Christ, is to appreciate the meaning and implications of what the Lord Jesus Himself tells us in John chapter 15, of the vine and the branches. And we can say that this is actually a commentary on the principle of faith in the truth and the light of God's provision of the Lord Jesus, and faith in the truth of the spiritual reality, the spiritual fact that Christ is in us and we in Him. In John chapter 15, the Lord Jesus tells us He is the true vine and we are the branches, and that we must abide in Him and He in us, and then we will bear much fruit. Let us turn to John chapter 15. We'll first look at just verses 4 and 5 before we look at the other verses. The Lord Jesus says in verse 4, "Abide in me and I in you." Here the Lord Jesus is not stating a spiritual fact. It is an exhortation. Abide in me and I in you. Or you can say it's an instruction, it's a commandment. Whereas what we've seen in the last message are spiritual facts, which we'll look again afterwards, I'll refer to them. Spiritual facts that God has already placed us in Christ and Christ is in us. But here the Lord Jesus exhorting us, abide in me and I in you. Then it will result in much fruit. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Verse 5. So we can see that in these words, in this passage, and especially verses 4 and 5, we can see that this is our appropriate response to the spiritual fact that we are in Christ and Christ is in us. That is, faith in the truth. That is, fruit bearing that flows forth from a healthy relationship with the Lord. We can summarize our abiding in Christ and He in us in this way, but I will elaborate further shortly. The fruit bearing that flows forth from a healthy relationship with the Lord, how it ought to be. As we continually draw life and spiritual nourishment from Christ, just as the branch abiding in the vine, and we live in deep fellowship with Him, in dependence on Him, and in submission to Him. We can appreciate the meaning of fruit bearing in two aspects. I've covered some of these in other contexts, so now I will just go through very quickly without elaboration. The Lord Jesus tells us, if we abide in Him and He in us, we will bear much fruit. The meaning of this fruit bearing in John chapter 15 can be appreciated in two aspects. A is growth in moral, spiritual beauty and stature, character development, transformation. As in Philippians chapter 1 verse 11, where Paul talked about being filled, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Filled with the fruit of righteousness. The fruit of righteousness there is quality of being, of life. Or as in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 11, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful, yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. The fruit of righteousness, again, is quality of being, of character. Or the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5 verse 22-23, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, the fruit of the Spirit. These are qualities of being, of character, inward realities. The other aspect of fruit bearing is fruitful ministry service, as in Colossians chapter 1 verse 10, where Paul wrote, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work. Bearing fruit in every good work, this ministry bearing fruit. Fruitful ministry service. Also in Philippians chapter 1 verse 22, where Paul wrote and testified, if I am to live on the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Fruitful labor is ministry. And we abide in Christ and He in us, as the Lord Jesus exhorts us in John chapter 15, then we will bear much fruit in both directions. One is our personal development as we draw life and spiritual nourishment from the Lord in deep fellowship with Him. We will continue to grow as we walk with Him. But we end the other aspect of fruit bearing, there will be fruitful ministry service. We can appreciate this passage in John chapter 15 from the angle of strong assurance of a life of fruitfulness as we abide in Christ and He in us. But we must also bear in mind that the words of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 15 is also a warning to us of the serious adverse consequences of failing to abide in Him and He in us. And that is God's judgment. We look at John chapter 15 verses 1 to 11 just very quickly. The Lord Jesus tells us He's the true vine and God the Father is the vine dresser. And He tells us in verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit He prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. So it's not so that all will bear fruit, there will be those that do not bear fruit. Verse 4, if you abide in Him and He in us, abide in me, I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. So it's not that all will bear fruit. So verse 15 assures us, if we abide in Him and He in us, we will bear much fruit. But at the same time, it tells us, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from the Lord Jesus, we will not be able to accomplish anything of value in the sight of God from the perspective of God's kingdom. Not only that, verse 6, the Lord Jesus tells us further, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. So this passage comes through very strongly. The Lord Jesus wants us to enter into fullness of life, a life of fruitfulness. But at the same time, He also warns us that if we fail to abide in Him and He in us, and this can happen. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, this can happen, then we will dry up. And just like the branch, may be cast into the fire and burned. But if we abide in the Lord and He in us, then there will be a very meaningful relationship and God pleased to answer our prayers, verse 7. And we will bear much fruit and so prove to be His disciples. It is God's desire, His intention for us to bear fruit is also His desire. He wants us to abide in His love, verse 9. But we can only abide in His love if we keep His commandments, just as He kept the Father's commandments and abide in the Father's love. So the Lord Jesus rounds up this passage by telling us, "These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full." He wants us to experience a deep relationship with Him and a life of abundance, fruitfulness. Yes, there will be many difficulties along the way, but the Lord Jesus also tells us that if we pay heed to His words, we will not live a miserable life. My joy will be in you, and your joy will be made full. It's a deep joy, the deep joy and peace of the Lord that will not be shaken, destroyed by what we encounter in this world, whatever it may be. Yes, we may feel the pain. It can at times be very difficult. But if we are properly living according to the principle of faith in the truth, then it will not be a miserable life. What does it mean to abide in Christ and He in us? Again, I've covered this in other messages. Please refer to them for more details. I will just go through briefly, quickly in this context. Abiding in Christ. We have seen in the previous message, we are already in Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30. This is what God has done. It is a spiritual fact. But abiding in Christ in John chapter 15, when the Lord Jesus says, "Abide in me," this exhortation, this, if we respond to it, is the appropriate response on our part to the truth, to the spiritual fact of the fact that we are already in Christ. This is faith in the truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30 is a spiritual fact. If we respond to the exhortation of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 15 verse 5, that is faith in the truth. The appropriate response on our part to the truth, the fact that we are already in Christ. What does that mean? Abide in Christ is to remain in Christ and not to depart from Him, to turn away from Him, to disrupt that fellowship that God intends us to have with the Lord Jesus when He placed us in Christ. Not to depart, not to turn away from Him by our attitude, our spirit, our conduct. This is a spiritual thing, a moral spiritual thing. It's not physical, not walking away physically. That is, our attitude, spirit and conduct must be consistent, similar to that of the Lord Jesus. So we must deal with whatever would disrupt fellowship and oneness with the Lord Jesus. As we read through the scriptures, if we can sense that there's anything in the heart of the Lord Jesus that's contrary, and there's something in our heart and spirit that's contrary to that of the Lord Jesus, we must deal with it. If there's anything in our lives that would disrupt a good fellowship with the Lord, we must deal with it. For example, sin. 1 John chapter 3 verse 6. No one who abides in Him sins. It means not doing and not even harboring in our hearts anything that is displeasing to the Lord. If we harbor in our hearts anything displeasing to Him, wrongful desires, bitterness, anger, jealousy, envy, desire for what the evil one is offering us through the world, whatever is displeasing to the Lord. We must not reach out for them or even harbor such desires. Whatever is contrary to the character of the Lord, to His values, His ways, we must not hold on to them, harbor them, and we must also not have hardened hearts or hardened minds. If our hearts and minds are hardened, then the Lord will have difficulty speaking to us. And there are many things that we need to change in our understanding. There's views, opinions that we hold that are not wholesome, that the Lord wants to change. We must not be hardened in our hearts and minds. The renewal of the mind and the renewal of the heart is at the very heart of transformation, growth in moral, spiritual beauty and stature. In times past, I've also preached on hardened hearts and hardened minds. I will not elaborate here. However, we need to go beyond the dealing with the negative. It's not just merely the absence of the negative, but also the presence and the nurturing of the positive qualities in the context of fellowship with the Lord and love for Him. Active obedience, whatever we understand is pleasing to the Lord, we will set our hearts to seek, to pursue, to work out. We know the Lord is concerned about righteousness, purity of heart. We know the Lord wants us to trust Him, nurturing faith. And faith is tested when the going is difficult, when there are temptations and trials. But will we continue to abide in Him, trust Him, follow Him? A life consistent with the person, character, life, values, and ways of Christ. Not just turning away from what is displeasing to the Lord, but actively seeking to live a life pleasing to Him, consistent with His character, His values. And not just the outward act, but the inward realities of our heart. More and more, we seek to nurture these positive qualities. Abiding in Christ emphasizes on our part. We choose to abide in Him. The Lord is inviting us. He exhorts us. He has made the provisions, but He will not compel us, force it upon us. Yes, the Spirit of God will be grieved if we turn away. And God encourages us to come to Him, to live in this way. But we must respond positively to God's call and choose to abide in Him, to trust Him, to depend on Him, to submit to Him. Dependence on God, submission to God, this must come forth from our heart in response to the Holy Spirit at work. 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. The one who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He in him. So if we want to abide in the Lord Jesus and He in us, then we must keep His commandments. Obedience, faith, continually obedient to the Lord, whatever the circumstances. I will now go on to Christ abiding in us. Christ abiding in us. We have also seen in the last message that Christ is in every true believer. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We received Christ into our hearts. He dwells within us. Otherwise, we do not belong to Him. We are not God's children. So that is a spiritual fact. But the Lord Jesus' exhortation in John chapter 15, verse 4, abide in me and I in you, Christ abiding in us, in John chapter 15, is our appropriate response to this truth, this spiritual fact that the Lord Jesus is dwelling in us. Faith in the truth. What does it mean? Abide in me and I in you. The Lord is exhorting us to respond appropriately to this injunction, I in you. Is He not already in us? Here the Lord Jesus is telling us the need for us to exercise faith and faith in the truth that He is in us. The implications, the appropriate response, and what is that? Why is it Christ is dwelling in us? How are we to respond in faith? Appropriate response to this truth is that the Lord Jesus dwelling in us, He wants to have the freedom to work in our lives and to work through our lives. And the appropriate response is to order our lives so that He has the freedom to work deeply within us and to work in us and to work through us. The Lord Jesus wants us to experience deeply, not just His working in us towards a goal, but experience Him as a person. And there can be different depths of our experiential knowledge of Christ. How deeply do we really know the Lord? He wants us to know Him deeply. He wants us not only to experience in a small measure His life, but He wants us to experience His life in all its abundance. Just like our experience of the Holy Spirit, a little bit or filled with the Spirit. He wants us to experience deeply and richly His grace, His enabling. Do we order our lives such that He has the freedom to fill us with His life and to work deeply, to deeply know Him, experience Him, a deep measure of His life, His grace, His enabling? The Lord Jesus wants to teach us, to speak to us, to help us. The appropriate response to Christ abiding in us is a receptive heart, a heart that is open to Him, a hunger, a deep desire for Him to work in our lives in this way. Not to teach us in our minds, but to teach us so that our hearts can respond deeply to Him. And so in the midst of all this, it would be the transformation taking place. The Lord Jesus Himself transforming us as we open our hearts to Him, to have this freedom to work in us. And this will result in God's perfect will being fulfilled in our lives, resulting in much fruit. Fruit in terms of growth as well as fruit bearing in terms of service. Over the years, many messages have been preached on the importance of dealing with the self-life. It's a very difficult thing. It's a very complex subject. It can be approached in many different ways, how to deal with the self-life. This is a very meaningful and effective way of dealing with the self-life. That is a recognition that we are inadequate and deficient in ourselves. We cannot live life properly, meaningfully. We cannot depend on our own strength. We cannot set our hearts on our own goals and desires. We must put away all that is of the self and let the Lord Jesus have the full freedom to work in us, to teach us, to mold us, and then to fill us with His life, empower us to walk in the way that He teaches us. No more according to our own thinking, our own desires, our own strength. This is the importance and emphasis of He in us. And that is the recognition of our need of the Lord Jesus to work in us and to work through us, and not doing anything on our own. Abide in Him and He in us. For apart from Him, we can do nothing of value. A deep recognition of this and living according to this spiritual reality. This is our part. To seek Him, even as He is drawing us to Himself, we respond. Even as He wants to teach us, we also long to know His will, His teaching. Even as He desires to lead us, to guide us, but there are so many distractions. So on our part, we must be prayerful, we must be sensitive to His leading. What He has to say to us in every situation, and I emphasize every situation, not selectively. Often we can be very troubled, disturbed, miserable. We cannot go on well. It's because we are not properly living out this life that He desires of us. And one of the reasons is that we are willing to listen to Him, to obey Him only selectively. We may wonder, why is it I cannot go on well? I cannot grow properly. Why is it I cannot experience the peace, the joy of the Lord? This is one significant reason. It's related to the issue of consecration and true faith in the Lord, and what God has done and provided for us by giving us His Son. In our hearts, there must be this reality of an earnest desire to learn from Him, to heed what He has to say to us in every situation and in everything. Not just the profession of our lips, but in our hearts, there is this eagerness. This is what the Lord desires to do in our lives. And if we on our part also desire to move in that direction, the Lord will bring it to pass. So it's not just our trying to be faithful to God, our trying hard to be true to Him, to obey Him, to please Him. But there needs to be the recognition of the need for the Lord Jesus to have the freedom to express His life in us and through us. Not just on our part, trying very hard, and from time to time asking God to help us. Asking God to help us is correct. But the scriptural presentation goes beyond that. Abide in me and I in you. Is that the Lord Jesus wants to express for His life to fill us and for Him to have the freedom to work in us, to teach us, to guide us, to enable us, to live in us, guide us, transform us, work in us, work through us. And so there's a need for us to order our lives so that it is conducive for Him to work in us and to work through us. And there are various important aspects to the kind of spirit and attitude that's needful. I will not go into detail, but just mention a few. Many of these are elaborated in other messages. For example, the need then for us to be prayerful, to have a humble, contrite spirit, to have a submissive spirit, a real, genuine eagerness to submit to the Lord, and knowing that the will of the Lord is truly the best. And we genuinely want to submit to Him, whether easy, difficult, and the right spirit. So a healthy spirit is important, and prayerful, so that we will not act according to our own thinking, our own strength, but always in submission to the Lord and sensitive to what He desires of us. And a careful attention to the reading and absorption of the truths in the scriptures. Integration to church life. These are areas that we have considered in earlier messages. I will not elaborate. The main thing I want to emphasize in this message is that although God desires us and wants us to have a life of abundance and fruitfulness, and that is the reason why He has given us His Son, such a life is not automatic, but it can be attained. We must understand what God has provided for us, how it can come about, and finally, critically, there must be that appropriate response of our heart. And in concluding remarks, I want to emphasize, when I say the appropriate response, we need to look to God to help us to deepen this response as much as possible and deepen, continually seeking to deepen, because there will be varying depth of reality, quality of abiding in Christ and He in us. If we love the Lord, there will be a certain degree of reality of abiding in Christ and He in us.
but there are likely to be deficiencies. And we need to be earnest in looking to the Lord to seek to understand how to deal with the deficiencies, how to deal with what hinders, and how to nurture the positive, and how to order our lives, the kind of spirit and attitude, and the whole way we live our lives, our concentration, our values, our perspective, that the quality, the depth of reality of abiding in Christ and He in us can blossom. And this will have a direct bearing on the state of spiritual health, the degree of spiritual health, and the rate of growth in moral, spiritual beauty and stature. Those who love the Lord, generally with passing time, there'll be growth. But are we complacent, or are we deeply concerned? Do we care a lot? Do we value very much what is feasible, what God desires for us? And will we look to the Lord to help us to respond deeply accordingly? So it is important for us to exercise ourselves, to cooperate with the Lord, that the Lord Jesus may have the full freedom to work deeply in us, and more we can experience Him and His life in increasing measures. And in that context, the transformation process and the fruit bearing. We can take note of the important assuring truth that is reflected in John chapter 15, verse 5. I mentioned one side of it is warning, judgment, but I prefer to concentrate on the other important principle reflected in John chapter 15, verse 5. It's a very important assuring truth that if we abide in Christ and He in us, we will bear much fruit. It is not just maybe, we will. And there is nothing, there is no one, there is no circumstances, no occurrences, and there's nothing that the powers of darkness can do to stop us from bearing much fruit, that is, growing well and contributing well to God's kingdom. Because there is nothing and there is no one who can stop us from abiding in Christ and He in us. This is a spiritual realm, moral spiritual plane, where we can choose to abide in Christ and for Him to abide in us. No situation and no one can stop it, except ourselves and our poor response to the Lord. So this is what I want to emphasize. John chapter 15 and this reassuring truth here in verses 4 and 5 is talking about our response. Abiding in Christ and He in us in John chapter 15 verses 4 and 5 is our appropriate response. I want to emphasize our appropriate response to the spiritual fact that we are already in Christ and He is in us, and what God intends to bring about: faith in the truth. Others may try to help us. Others may try to hinder us. The power of darkness would oppose it, put many obstacles in the path. Situations may be difficult, but the ultimate outcome of our lives, our growth and contribution, depends on our appropriate response to God and God's provision. We can't say it depends on us in the sense that only God and God's provision and God at work can bring it about. So we can say it depends on God and our appropriate response. But the perfect, unchanging, sovereign God has already declared that this is what He desires, and this is why He has made all the provisions for us, and He's also seeking constantly, continually, to draw us and to encourage us in that direction. In the earlier message I've mentioned, just like in Isaiah, where the Lord mentioned how the sentiment, what else can I do for Israel? similarly, and even more so for us. God has done all that He can meaningfully do so. The issue now is, would we avail ourselves of God's provisions and respond well, abiding in Christ and He in us? And as we do so, it will be an overcoming, abundant life. Well, one way of looking at it, although this way of presentation may seem so simple, well, it is not an easy life. But it is definitely feasible. For all of God's children, for each one of us, it is the will of God. He seeks to bring it about. He has made the provisions. It can come about. Let us not blame situations or people or the powers of darkness when we fail to grow well. We can grow well, whatever the circumstances, whatever the difficulties along the way. It can be very difficult, but God knows. And in His grace and goodness, the more difficult the circumstances, the more He will undertake and provide for us, because His grace will always be sufficient. And so even in more trying situations, we can trust Him for a deeper experience of His grace and enabling. There are other aspects I want to go into, but I think I better leave it for the next message, where I will continue to consider with you, if we are abiding in Christ and He in us, what we can enter into and experience in increasing measure. The Scriptures assures us of a life of spiritual abundance, peace and joy, righteousness in the Holy Spirit and in the Lord Jesus Christ. An overcoming life, a life where the Lord will help us to overcome all difficulties, and in Him we can find protection and all the resources needful for a faithful walk with God. We'll stop here for today. Let us prepare ourselves to partake the Lord's Supper, and let us bear in mind that the Lord's Supper is also God's provision for us, and is directly related to the provision of His Son and what was accomplished at the cross. Let us, as we come before the Lord's table, come with hearts of gratitude to the Lord, to Heavenly Father, and also to Christ the Son. And let us look to the Holy Spirit to help us to gain insight into the being of God, how we can more and more be a one heart with the Lord, and also appreciate what He has done and provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, how we can abide in Him and He in us and bear much fruit, to grow well in moral, spiritual beauty and stature, and a life of fruitful ministry. How we can enter more fully, experience in greater measure the blessings with which God has blessed us in the Lord Jesus Christ. That Paul's expression of the unfathomable riches of Christ will not just be mere words to us. Let us ask the Spirit of God to help us to prepare our hearts, that we know how to deal with all that displeases the Lord, and not partake the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner, and be ready to partake the Lord's Supper in deep fellowship with the Lord
and one another as members of the body of Christ. In heaven, we thank you in the depth of your love. You have given us your only begotten Son. You sent him to this world to die for our sins, but you also raised him from the dead. And we thank you for those who have repented and trusted in the Lord Jesus. You've also placed Christ in our hearts. And Christ in us is the hope of glory. For we know that together with him, you will not withhold from us anything good for us. We also know that there is so much potential for growth and for service because Christ dwells in us. We pray, Father, that you will help us, that we may grow well, we may experience more and more of what you have provided for us and what you intend for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grant us spiritual insight into the realities revealed in the Scriptures. Help us to respond well according to the principle of faith in the truth, the appropriate response from our hearts in the light of your provision of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we will not remain in spiritual poverty, but we may be able to enter into and experience a life of abundance and fruitfulness. We pray that you will teach us to order our lives so that increasingly the Lord Jesus may have much freedom to work in us and to work through us. That we may nurture a healthy spirit, a submissive spirit, a prayerful spirit, a contrite spirit, a receptive spirit, a hunger to know what you have to say to us, to teach us. And our hearts and spirit are not hardened, but can be molded and transformed. And we know that you allow us to go through many different kinds of situations, including very difficult and testing situations. Because in the many different situations, there's much you want to teach us. In the process, mold us and transform us. Help us not be resistant to your working in our lives, but to deeply appreciate your kind intention toward us. Father, you know our frailties. You know each one of us and what we are going through. And we look to you together. Then your grace and mercy, you teach us how to abide in the Lord Jesus and he in us. And to be obedient to you in every situation, in everything. Thank you now for the Lord's Supper that we can partake together. We ask for your blessings on the bread and wine. And we ask that you will wash away our sins, renew us in the right spirit, help us to have the right perspective, values, direction of life, be consecrated to you, that we may be ready in heart and spirit to partake of the Lord's Supper. For we ask and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.